when we are manifesting from our ego mind, we aren't using our entire self. Most of the time when we are in manifestation, we haven't embodied the lower chakras.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am a womb shaman. I am an activator and facilitator of Kundalini Shakti. And really, you know, I'm helping both men and women heal their sexual energy, heal their infertility, really activate their Shakti, and ultimately create the life that they desire, as well as embody their ecstatic selves. I believe very strongly that we're all here to live an ecstatic life. It's been my personal journey, and I'm here to inspire you to do the same. So today I wanted to talk about creating versus manifesting. So today is a solo episode, and this is where I get to go deep into a topic, just you and me, as well as bring it through my own personal experiences to help you. You know, manifestation is a hot topic in the world of spirituality. Pretty much everywhere you look in spirituality, it is the word manifest, right? Manifest what you desire, manifest money, manifest relationships. And it's very beautiful. Because the understanding of manifestation is in and of itself deeply empowering. Because manifestation says that we can bring forth what we desire. We can call in what we desire. That already is quite a shift from some people who are in a state of life simply happens to me, and I'm not empowered in my choices or in what I really want. And as we deepen into our spiritual journey, what often happens is that you will find that either manifestation stops resonating with you, and or you start to want something a little bit deeper than manifestation. And in all honesty, those are just words. It's really more about a feeling. There's a feeling, there's more to it than this mental construct of what we think we want or what we think we need. And that's where creating comes in. My definition of creating is where we are starting to really understand the heart's desires, which are different than the ego mind's desires. The ego mind's desires are really rooted in the lower self, the false self, and they're definitely not wrong or incorrect. We all move through those desires. I've had plenty of them. So this isn't a judgment on ego desires. And as I said, you'll reach this point where you start to feel that they're not substantial, that they are even the best version of them, have a level of superficiality to them. And that's when I feel like creating comes in. and creating starts to deepen into one's own genius. And as I mentioned, starts to really come from the heart. The journey of what do we truly desire in and of itself is an unpacking, a revealing, just like our genius is, just like the entire spiritual journey is, right? And so oftentimes what we think we want, we're only breadcrumb trails headed towards the core truth of really what we're trying to create. And like I said before, those breadcrumb trails are very, very important. So this is in no way, shape, or form devaluing any part of this process, because you need the breadcrumb trails to really get to the sweet stuff. So when you get to creating, you're starting to really ask yourself, what do I really want? Now, in alignment with your authentic self. And you start asking deeper questions about your genius, about your gifts, about the potentiality of your life, which is such a delicious part of the journey. When we start getting into creation, we also start to understand that creating also implores our sexual energy. It implores our Shakti. So remember, Shakti is Kundalini that has been activated. So Kundalini Shakti is creative life force energy, pure creative life force energy that everybody has. Most people's Kundalini Shakti is still in the unawakened state. And so it is a coiled serpent of energy at the base of their body. Once the Kundalini activates, she uncoils and she really transforms into Shakti, which is the primordial femme energy. And she begins her process up the body. She also moves out of the body into chakras outside of the body and ultimately to the crown in union with Shiva. And, you know, the journey continues after that as well. In creating, we start to understand that it's not just our mind, it's not just our intentions that create our reality. We start to understand that this Shakti, which all of our sexual energy is Shakti, but not all Shakti is sexual in nature. It's creative life force energy. You can see how all sexual energy is creative life force energy, right? But you can also see how not all creative life force energy is sexual. If you look in nature, is a great example of that. We start to understand the power of that energy. And we start to understand that there's more depth to the overall unfolding of this process for us. That sometimes we have to journey through different layers of our own identity to really come into, like I mentioned before, our heart's desires, as well as what we're really attempting to create for ourselves. And that takes devotion. Because whether you're manifesting or creating, or even actualizing, which will be our third conversation, there's still going to be a goal in mind. Goals are just a focal point. Now, in manifesting, those goals come to you through your mind. In creating, they're a little bit of a combination of the mind and deepening into the heart. And in actualizing, which we'll get to, it's really coming from higher self, higher mind. So in creating, we start to sense something deeper than just these goals. And so we start to become curious, inquisitive, and we begin to journey deeper. And that's where those goals shift a little bit. They are shifting in alignment with our genius. They are shifting in alignment with love. And they are shifting in alignment with our authenticity, with our truest self. When we start to create, it starts to become very juicy, in my opinion. It's no longer about the end result, even though there is a goal and a focal point, which is always important to intentionally create as a focal point, aka a goal. In creating, there's a deeper, sweeter truth to the journey, to the process, much like the Shakti energy as she journeys through your body to meet her beloved. You are beginning your journey deeper into self in the process of meeting the beloved there. You begin to learn how to slow down, breathe more, think less, be more, do less. Your actions in creating become more precise and therefore much more potent, where more time is spent doing less. And when you take action, it's precise and impactful. Now, that doesn't mean you're not taking action. You're still very much taking action, but you're not in a doership where your worthiness is tied up in the doing, like I've spoken about before. Instead, you begin to enjoy the process. You begin to have pleasure with the experience itself, which in previous episode I've commented about pleasure mindset. This is where pleasure mindset really comes in, because now you're starting to utilize that sexual energy, starting to utilize that Shakti, and it's really pleasurable. It feels good in your body to use that energy. It feels good to be moving slower. It's like you slow everything down, and yet in this strange way, speed it up simultaneously. What I mean by that is you're actually moving slower throughout your day. Again, being more precise, being much more present. But because you're doing that, you're learning how to collapse timelines and alter your reality very quickly. So there's this wonderful paradox of simultaneously slowing down and speeding up. And you begin to really know yourself in the creative process. You become simply more attuned to your creativity, the creator within you. Now, your creativity might not be art or music or writing. It could be something completely unique to you. A gardener is creative, right? Somebody who creates projects and businesses is creative. Creativity is everywhere. So you begin to deepen into the questioning and the realization of your unique creator being and how creativity expresses through you, backed by this powerful Shakti energy, which awakens you to this aliveness within you. You have more energy, you have more creativity, and it's more spice for life, more aliveness. All this also while being in more of a rooted heart space, an opened heart space, a space of love, of compassion, and of respect for yourself and for others. And as I mentioned before, a devotion. At this point, it's not so important when things happen. In manifestation, even though it's not truly manifestation to be tied to the how and the when, there is just naturally more of an attachment to that per where you are in the evolution. Versus when you start to really come into creator, you start to relish the process. Meaning if it takes you 3 years to create something, so be it. You're going to sink in and enjoy that process. And that's really when life becomes very enjoyable. Now we have our third way, which is actually actualization. Actualization is surrender. And it's really a much harder concept, I would say, than it sounds. I know that a lot of people don't actually understand surrender, admittedly. I think I thought I understood what surrender was, and I think I thought I was surrendered. However, as I've moved through the process and watched myself go from manifester to creator and moving into actualization, actualizer, perhaps? I don't know. You start to really align simply with service. Simply with what I like to say is the higher good of all. But that's not just a statement, because that statement is very powerful to use, and I teach it a lot to my clients. But I mean that every single action that you take aligns to that. You start to embody and are embodied of for the higher good of all. And this is where the real let go happens, because it's really liberating to be embodied of for the higher good of all. Because no longer do you need to fret, to worry, to even concern yourself with seeming issues, seeming challenges, things that appear like they're not showing up. Actualization is deep faith. And faith is different than trust. Faith is the understanding that all is perfect no matter what happens. And trust is the trust that it'll work out, right? So I trust that it'll all work out. Faith is like whatever happens is perfect. It's not in my hands. It's not up to me. Actualization begins the process of a devotion to something that is so much larger than yourself. And as I said, I, for a long time, thought I was there. But I was still seeking to create things for myself. And as I moved through the process of creator into actualization, what I noticed was the real desire to serve the higher good of all in every single action. So before, I had to remind myself to say that. And I had to kind of consciously align myself to that statement. Whereas now it just really honestly feels like my actions are of that. So in actualization, the energy, the pure potentiality begins to move through you. And you are really connected to your heart's desires, the very core, the very center of the flower, of the lotus, of the rose even. My process has been non-linear, to say the least. And I use myself as an example because I have changed a lot over and over again. And there have been times when I've really thought, you know, like this has to stop. You know, I have to stop changing and shifting because it appears like I am confused, or there's a word that I've been given, flippant, I was called once. But the truth was, is I was actually just moving through the energies very quickly and shifting very quickly. And I'm really glad I allowed myself to do that, because the place that I am in now feels like home. It really feels like my authentic self in every manner of it. It's not to say I don't face challenge, because I do. Absolutely. I'm still transmuting energy. I'm still shifting energy. But there's this knowingness of what wants to occur through me, and the surrender to it. And that was me shifting a lot in a very short amount of time. So if you don't shift that quickly, which isn't right or wrong, good or bad, it could take longer. And the only reason I say that is because it's a process. You know, the symbolism that comes through is if you are losing a bunch of weight, right? Like, let's say that you have an extra 100 pounds on your body and you start to lose weight. And the first 50 pounds comes off really quickly. Well, that's a lot of weight, and you have to buy new clothes. And let's say that the next 50 pounds doesn't come off so easily, right? So you're kind of stuck there for a little while. So you buy new clothes, right? And then, you know, you kind of go through that plateau and you lose another 50 pounds. Well, then you have to buy all new clothes again. You hit another plateau, and then you do it a third time, right? So each one of those times, you're creating this whole new wardrobe for yourself, because honestly, your clothes don't fit. This is a lot of the process of getting to our core authentic self, is releasing the false identity. So don't be afraid to release the identity. Don't be afraid to move from manifestation into creation, into actualization. Don't be afraid to have the goals. Because now where I'm at, I still have a vision. It's a vision I was actually given from the very beginning. But the how the vision sits in my body is very different than when I was in manifestation. It was like, I have to make this happen, right? This is my goal. I'm going to work to make it happen. And then creation started to come in, and it was like, all right, this will happen. And now it's like, I don't really care whether it happens or not. It's the vision I've always had, so I presume it will, but whatever. It's not really about that. The main part I want you to understand is the difference between the manifestation and the creation. Again, there are benefits to each part of the process. However, you know, understanding the shift from manifestation into creation is a real biggie. And when we are manifesting from our ego mind, we aren't using our entire self. Most of the time when we are in manifestation, we haven't embodied the lower chakras. We're not really embodied. We tend to be up in our minds more. We tend to be looking outside of ourselves more. Well, that person's creating that, or that's that, or and I want that. And we're looking outside of ourselves for comparison sometimes, and also just things that we want that other people might be experiencing, which again, not right or wrong, good or bad. And the part that I'm emphasizing is the not embodied. Because when you start to become embodied, you start to automatically shift into creator. And for women, this is about connecting to the womb, about connecting to the yoni, and really connecting to the feminine and also the ma. And what starts to happen is this realization of that inexhaustible power. Again, that starts to really be experienced in the creator aspect of things. So manifestation can still have some lack, can still have unworthiness, and creator can still have some lack and unworthiness too. It just starts to get smaller. And when you start to become embodied, you're starting to really activate the three creator centers. So the first one being the sacral center, sacral chakra. That chakra governs your Shakti. It governs your sexual energy. It's so incredibly important. If you're not tuned into very intimately with your sacral chakra, and as women, with your womb, with your yoni, and for men, your hara, which is the that energy center, where the womb would be for men, and also your sexual energy. If you're not tuned into those energies, understanding your sexual energy, having a strong relationship with your sexual energy and your Shakti, understanding how it feels in your body, understanding how to utilize it, then you're only working with a small portion of the motor. You have this very powerful motor, and it's like you've only got like two of the gears shifted on, maybe even one. And that's manifestation, dare I say. In my definition of it, by the way, I want to say I differentiate these words for clarity, but I want to be clear. Other people might define these words differently. And so I'm not trying to say, again, that manifestation is this particular thing. I'm trying to define it in a way that helps you understand the process. That's all. Okay. But in the first level, the first layer, the first process, which I'm calling manifestation, because that's how I've witnessed and experienced it, you're like firing at, you know, a couple of the pistons. And then you come into the creator, and now you're starting to get into those more hardcore, like the workhorse pistons, even though I don't even think that's a real thing in as far as motors go. I feel like I'm making this up, but I think you understand what I'm saying, right? And then as you get into actualizer, right, like all the pistons are firing and they're really firing in harmony with each other. So without that connection, and this is really my point to this conversation, is the connection to your sacral, the connection to your Shakti, you're not using your full potentiality. And a lot of times what we can be doing when we're in the manifestation phase is we can be creating things that aren't totally in alignment and absolutely don't necessarily serve your higher good because they're being created from the ego mind. Versus when we start to sink down further into the heart and into the heart's desires and aligning the sexual energy, the creative life force energy to those heart's desires, we start to deepen that. And that starts to release some of the grip that duality has on us, particularly with regards to creating, manifesting, actualizing what we desire. Because when we manifest, create from the mind, we can create both polarities, meaning you could have both things happen. You could make a lot of money and then lose it. You could ask for the drought to end and it to rain, and then a drought could follow. You could ask for a new job, and then it's the job that you don't even really like. Or it's a job that's giving you the money, but it's failing in another aspect of it. Same as a relationship, right? You could be manifesting a relationship and it's serving in some manner, but it's not like the full picture, right? So that's what happens when we're in the ego mind manifesting versus as we deepen down into our Shakti and align that to our heart, that duality starts to begin to melt away. And then when we move into actualization for the higher good of all, that's where duality doesn't even exist. So for you, the question becomes, what is your relationship to your sacral chakra? What is your relationship to your womb? What is your relationship to your yoni? If you're a man, because I do have some men who listen to this, what's your relationship to your hara? What is your relationship to your sexual organs, to your sexual energy, to your Shakti, right? Same thing, just different body parts, but same thing. What is your relationship to your heart? Can you feel the difference vibrationally between a heart's desire, which ultimately a heart's desire does serve all, and an ego mind desire? And they can be very similar, particularly in the way that they would orchestrate seemingly to the outside world, but vibrationally they're different. So they will ultimately have a different outcome, if that makes sense, because they are vibrationally different. So let me explain that. Just because money is such a clear measurement, it's an easy one to use, but this applies to anything. Let's say creating $100,000 was truly a heart's desire, because what you were going to do with that money was going to be very impactful. And then ego mind of creating $100,000 maybe had some impact and had some more selfish reasons or more reasons that weren't necessarily of the higher good. So they're both $100,000. So from the external perspective, they're the same, but they're very different vibrationally. Okay. And that's what you want to begin to really understand, is that feeling of a heart's desire. And be able to even potentially feel or see how that heart's desire will impact other people. Because when you're tuned into those desires, oftentimes you'll be shown how magnificent they really are and how they impact others in a positive way. Doesn't mean it won't be challenging for those other people, because challenge is important for us. Doesn't mean that it's just going to make other people's lives easy and rainbows and butterflies. That's not what I mean by be of service to them, be, you know, for the higher good of others, right? But you can literally see the impact in a positive way, even with challenge. So what is your relationship to your heart's desires? Are you connected to them? And so if you're not connected to to your Shakti, to your sexual energy, to your sacral chakra. If you're not connected to those heart's desires, then you're in that manifestation era, and you're probably moving, especially if you're listening to this, you know, you're headed into this creator consciousness. You're headed into understanding that you want to really create your life through your genius, not just manifest a list of I wants, right? And again, with the creator side of things, what happens is through that work with the sacral chakra and the sexual energy, again, you really open up your authentic self, which is right alongside there with the energy of vulnerability. And that's something that's really important to understand, because our society has really misunderstood sexual energy. I have really misunderstood sexual energy. If you know anything about my journey, you know that none of this has been easy for me. And I have denied my authentic self because it was rooted in sexual energy and Shakti. And I held so much shame there that I wanted to go in any other direction but that direction. And yet, that was, of course, the direction I was pulled. And it's so funny to me, because when I talk to other people about this, like my family, my friends, my clients are like, oh yeah, totally saw that. I totally saw that's who you were. And I'm like, really? Because I was denying it myself, but they could see it. Because of my conditioning and also my trauma around sexual energy. And regardless of whether you've been traumatized sexually, you still have conditioning there. And sometimes I think it's almost harder for people who haven't been traumatized. Not really. But I say that because for those of us who've been traumatized, we can say, okay, I've been traumatized, so there's probably work I need to do there. Whereas people who haven't been traumatized, they tend to just write it off as like, no, I'm good. But are you? Because I tend to find that's not the case. I have yet to work with somebody that's either been traumatized or not, that doesn't have deep conditioning in their sexual energy, and thus in their creative life force energy, and thus in the ability to create their life, and thus in their authentic, most truest self. Do you see what I'm getting at? So I invite you to be curious there. And if it triggers you, oh my gosh, my love, please know that I understand. You know, I used to buy these books that I couldn't even look at. Like, it was back in like 2018, I think I bought a book called Sexual Magic, and it just sat on my shelf. I couldn't look at it. I would open it up and I would just be like, oh, this stuff isn't for me. And in all honesty, I haven't ever actually done any of the things out of that book because they're not really my style, but I'm not triggered by them anymore. Like, I would shut the book in a triggered state and say, this isn't for me. And while it still isn't for me, I can see a lot of similarities. I hope that makes sense. My point being, I get it if you're triggered. I get it. I really do. And I get it if you'd just rather not even ever look there, or like it seems like a lot. I totally understand all of that. And if you're somebody that sex seems to have come easy for you, orgasm seems to come easy for you, any of that, then I would get even curiouser. curiouser, because there's still something there. And like I said, it might be harder to recognize or realize. Sometimes the best way to recognize or realize it is with a partner, you know, in the act of sex, because when we're with another person, all of that can be reflected back to us very, very easily. Whereas when we're just single, it's really hard. It can feel like you're in a different place than you really are. And when you get in a relationship, it's like, whoa, I didn't realize I still had so much going on. So engaging in that way can be really eye-opening. Really eye-opening. And no matter where you are in the journey, you know, there's pretty much three phases to the spiritual process. Just like there's the three aspects of the Trinity. There's, you know, there's the three aspects of the spiral is oftentimes what I've called it. There's the three creator centers. There's the three. The three is really the first distortion of the law of one. And so it's really the fullness. It explains the fullness of the universe and of our own divinity in these portioned out ways that we can digest. So regardless of whether you call it manifesting or somebody else calls it manifesting, creating, actualizing, there's still three phases, three aspects to it. And the wording, the labeling isn't as important as understanding the differences, being able to understand where you are in the process and, you know, therefore what is that goal? What are you working to realize there? So in the first phase of what I'm calling manifestation, the what is to be realized there is the disembodiment, that you're not embodied, that you're not very present, that you're in the mind a lot, that you're often in the past, the future, elsewhere than in the now. Again, that you're looking outside of yourself a lot for the wants and the desires, potentially the comparisons or the unworthinesses, the validations, the performance, all of that. The middle one, the creator, the real realization there is in the unraveling of that genius and really like pinpointing what that is. And it's kind of like a compass. You know, if you've been on a boat and, you know, it's like you're in the ocean or you're in a rough water and there's these little movements, right? As the boat kind of turns one way or subtly turns the other, and you got to keep lining up to that true north. And that's really the creator is keep aligning to that true north and keep, you know, deepening into that process for yourself. And then the realization of the actualization process is really just the complete surrender and the higher good of all and the liberation process of that. And that's it. At that point, you've, you know, started to really own your authentic self, your genius. It all comes naturally to you. And so it's a lot about breathing and liberating and allowing your life to unfold to really per the higher good of all. And that's really not up to you. It's not up to the ego. It's not up to our individuated self. It's up to our higher self. It's up to our soul. It's up to our oversoul. It's up to God. So that faith, that letting go, that surrender. So I hope this has been always, as always, enlightening. I hope I have brought in some new information, new insights for you, new ways to see these words, new ways to see these different phases of this process, new realizations for yourself. And, you know, I'm always here to help you. I'm here to help you, you know, become embodied, to heal that sexual energy, to activate, you know, that Shakti, to really come into that power within yourself, align that with your heart, realize that genius, and become that ecstatic version of yourself, which, again, just for clarity, the ecstatic version of yourself is really rooted in the actualization, but it starts to really be experienced in the creator. So you start to experience it in the creator, and then it starts to become more anchored and embodied in the actualization process. And I want that for you. I want you to experience your ecstatic self. You know, the ecstatic version of you that can orgasm in your womb, that can orgasm in your heart chakra, orgasm in your pineal gland. When you're focused on what is trying to be created through you, it's a very magnificent frequency of creation in those three chakras when they're lit simultaneously and they're all humming together in that pure creative potentiality. It's very orgasmic. It feels very good. And it feels very, of course, magical, but like unstoppable as well. As well as just, you know, the full body orgasms and the pleasure in the pain, the pleasure in all of it. I really want that for you, my love. So I would love to help you. And of course, I'm always here for you in these solo episodes, here to bring you this more wisdom and insight and inspiration. So, you know, please make sure you share this episode with other people. And I do have a Facebook community, but I think I'm going to be opening up a different kind of community on a different platform. So if you're in the Facebook community, then I will be inviting you to this new community that'll be off Facebook, and integrated with some of my other things that I think will be really fun. And, it's just feels vibrationally much, much better. And you know, as always, I just really love this time with you as the listener, and you're really the ones who make this podcast viable, right? Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself. So I appreciate you very, very much. And I look forward to having you here next Tuesday. Much love to you.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.